Every leader has a strategy. Executing on that strategy is the challenge. If you want to learn how to effectively achieve what you've set out to accomplish, then this show is for you. Gain keen insights and listen in as leaders share their stories and challenges. Soar Vision Group and the Baldrige Foundation welcome you to Leader Dialogue Radio.
This is Duffy Dixon with Business Radio X. Thanks for joining us. Let me introduce Ben Sawyer, the Chief Executive Officer of Soar Vision Group. Ben has more than 30 years of executive leadership experience with a strong record of accomplishment. That includes guided strategy deployment. He's worked with many clients to achieve dramatic and sustainable operational performance. Jennifer Strahan is the president of Business Optimization Services. Jennifer has partnered with more than 100 health systems and businesses across the U.S., helping them transform their strategic, administrative, and clinical operations. Now, you are working with a company that we had in on our last show, Alive Studios. And to remind our listeners, this is a supplemental reading and math solutions company. They use augmented reality for early learners. I love their slogan on their webpage. It says, improving literacy with mind-boggling engagement. And we actually were all boggled by the engagement.
We were. Remember, we had animals loose on the table. I think there were pictures of elephants and alligators and whatever.
Yes, we all took selfies with 3D animals. We were very excited. So joining us then was Cynthia Kay, who is the CEO of Alive Studios, and also L.A. Ricketson, who is the Chief Marketing Officer. And I remember one of the big takeaways, or one of the things you're working on, is tapping into demand.
Right. So for the listeners, we're going to just re-anchor where we always do, which is on the homepage of the Leader Dialogue website. So that's Leader Dialogue, DIALOGUE website. There is this thing called the organizational needs hierarchy. And when you say tap into demand, that's code for, that's the fourth level down under customer value. And the very first thing is actually the third level. It's tap into demand. So what's interesting with organization stuff, Ian, Jennifer, and this is what we've been talking about with both of these companies, Swim Kids of Atlanta and now Live Studios, is the best performing organizations innovate, and then they execute seamlessly on every category of performance that matters to them and their industry, right? And these categories of performance are reflected in the organizational hierarchy of needs model, which the listeners can see on the website.
Right, so go down to that third level, and that's where we're at. Okay.
Yes, and it starts with strategy execution, right? So we the whole theme around this is, if you don't have your strategy and the ability to execute well, you're not going to be able to accomplish what you have set out to accomplish. And recall, there are three things that an organization has to do to effectively execute on their strategy. One, they have to differentiate their organization in the market. Two, they have to engage their associates to execute seamlessly. And then they have to measure performance to those expectations and adjust course as necessary, which was very true with the conversation that we had last week with Alive Studios.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny because I've never met a company that said, hey, we don't want to grow. There's always this... That's the challenge, right? That's what you're trying to do, is you have a mission and whatever that is, and part of your objective as an organization is to grow. Financially, you want to have, you know, strong profitability, which is the second tier in there when you talk about financial performance. And with that, especially with small businesses, and Alive Studios is a great example because they've been in business 4 years, so they're trying to, they have a very big goal, right? Their big, hairy, audacious goal is to be able to change the nation's report card. I think it's their fourth grade proficiency of reading, to go from 36% to over 70%. So they're basically doubling the nation's report card. So that takes a lot of effort. It's a very challenging concept, and there's what we call and we talk about as a chasm, and crossing that chasm. And can you talk a little bit about that, Ben? Because I know that you've got a lot of experience in thinking about how do you cross the chasm from getting where you're at today to being able to hit those big, hairy, audacious goals.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the listeners, Crossing the Chasm is a book that was written by a guy named Jeffrey Moore. And that book was written quite a number of years ago, but it's become kind of a mainstay, a management tome. And essentially what he describes is the pre-chasm market and the post-chasm market. So the pre-chasm market are innovators and early adopters. These are people where it's really kind of a project, not a product. It's about them. And the post-chasm, it's the product, and they only buy if everybody else is buying. And this is really where the winners or losers come out. So a lot of products and companies fall into the chasm because they don't ever make the transition to main market.
Is there a Live Studios has been doing this for 4 years. Is that about the time when the chasm develops, or is the chasm there the whole time?
The chasm is there the whole time.
Okay.
Each industry is a little bit different. But to cross the chasm,
right,
you have to essentially develop ramp speed, if you can kind of envision this. And you have to understand the beachhead in the main market that you're going to own. And the reason we use the term beachhead is it's you have to take it by force, essentially, from your competitor. So what is the differentiating value that is so distinctive, and how does that market buy? So you remember when we talked to Alive Studios, they have a good market already, but it could be a lot bigger.
Right.
And there are things that they need to focus in on from a product development standpoint that would make sure that they meet all the expectations for large school districts, state-level criteria, et cetera, much of which they've done, but there's still more to be done. So that's an example of you have to have a full package to be able to cross the chasm, own that beachhead, and be the differentiating selected product that the market's going to buy.
So there's a book by Malcolm Gladwell called The Tipping Point, and he talks about a couple of different components that ultimately support the whole premise of this book is how do you take a concept, either a social concept or a business concept or whatever, and how does it really go from just an idea, and it talks about that chasm, but in a slightly different variation, where it's basically saying, how does it get to where it's spreading wildfire, right? What is it that really takes off with those businesses? And it talks about their select few of people who really help navigate that. And so you've got connectors, who are those people that just, you know these guys, they know everyone. They're always out there. They can literally have word of mouth. They can talk to everyone. You've got mavens, who tend to be those knowledge hoarders. They just love to soak up as much information as they can. They love to educate people. And then you've got what they call salesmen, which doesn't necessarily have to go into the typical job of a salesperson. It's talking about that you connect with people, and that
right.
You're able to just find that connection and be able to really like take those conversations to the next level, and that those three types of people really make a difference on how a business or a concept tends to set fire. And that doesn't have to be a business. It can be things like, think about smoking back in the day. It was just about what people thought the perception was. It's actually, we all know now, terrible for you, but that didn't matter back then. So the same thing goes where it's not just about people, but it's the stickiness of your product, the stickiness of your service. And a lot of times people think, well, just because I started a business, I have a really great idea, it's going to just catch fire. But what I love about this is that there is this chasm. It's a very real thing, and it really differentiates successful businesses from non-successful businesses by being able to cross that chasm.
Right. So we find with small employers that tapping into demand is one of the biggest issues, right? Because sales is their lifeblood.
Right.
Cash flow is their lifeblood, right? So sales drives cash flow. And so they have to be very cognizant of what it takes to position their product in the market, that just having a great idea actually isn't enough. And sometimes what will happen in a small business is they lose focus. So they're, anything that sells, they'll go do, which is the worst thing you can do. So Jennifer, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that difference between focus mm-hmm. and adaptability.
Right. So if you think about this, especially, and I would say it's not just for small business, but especially for small businesses or businesses that are starting out, when you're in the midst of feeling that pressure of needing revenues and so on, is there's this balance. It's a constant tension between being able to respond to the market and maintaining flexibility. So how do I make sure that whatever the market says that I need, that I can provide, but at the same time, not losing focus on what my end goal is? Because if I do that, then I'm saying yes to everything, and I'm not actually getting the right things done. And that becomes, again, that struggle. So there's, again, a really good book. It's probably one of my new favorite books. It's called Lead and Disrupt. And in this book, it talks about how, as a business, you have to look in two different fields. And you have to look at, where am I currently at? What am I doing really well? And it talks about, how do I exploit the field I'm in? And so to reference another book, just to throw them out there, Blue Ocean Thinking, is a book where it talks about a lot of our industries today are what we call red oceans. In other words, they're an ocean that's saturated with sharks, right? So you have how many consulting companies out there in the world, how many different hospitals in your market, how many restaurants, right? Everything. So it's a very saturated market. Whereas what your goal is not to actually create necessarily a differentiation in that market, but the real goal is how do I create a blue ocean where nobody else is at yet? So as an example, just to relate this, is if you think back to the circus, and an area that was actually a blue ocean was Cirque du Soleil. So they took out the struggle with animal cruelty and big high expenses, and they said, hey, we're just going to come in with acrobats and some really cool stuff. You're going to pay top dollar for this. It's an adult-based function versus a kid-based function. They completely reimagined the circus, and Cirque du Soleil has been very, very profitable, and other circuses are actually struggling to this day. And so when you look at that, it's an example of a blue ocean. Netflix relative to Blockbuster, another blue ocean, right? Now you've got red ocean coming in where you've got Hulu and Sling and all these other companies that are coming in and competing. So there's this constant battle of how do I exploit the market I'm in, because Netflix, even today, they couldn't stay where they are. Now they're into making movies, and they're not just about streaming videos online. Originally, they were really about mailing, but that was never their original intention. So that's one piece of it, right? But the second piece is how am I constantly exploring new options?
So you have to be, try not to be in the red ocean, but if you find yourself getting in the red ocean, you have to keep looking for the next blue ocean.
Right, right. And it's this book, Lead and Disrupt, what it talks about is that ambidexterity. So how do I become ambidextrous as a business where I'm focusing on what I can do really well? And that's where things, when you think about the hierarchy of needs, organizational effectiveness, matching and exceeding customer value, and employees that are super engaged, those things will help you differentiate yourself in the market, but they'll also help you explore new businesses and being able to provide disruptive services in the market that may not even have been known at the time.
And you talked, when we talked about Alive Studios, you said they were really good at being flexible, because as more educators use their products, they do hear back from teachers who say, well, what if you did this? Let's try this. So they are innovating some of their products, but then they said sometimes we just have to put it on the, we just have a list of, wow, that'd be great someday. So they have to say, not necessarily no, but we can't do that right now.
Right. So this is where this all comes together. Because remember, we started the conversation off with what are the categories of performance that matter. So if you, let's take Alive Studios. In their market, large school districts are a way for them to be able to really accelerate their revenue.
Right.
What do large school districts need specifically, right? And if they don't meet that, that market could be elusive for them. Now, they've already had some luck with that, right, in terms of the Philadelphia public schools. But every organization is like that. As Jennifer just pointed out, there's a myriad of great books. Mm-hmm. There's lots of great concepts. The challenge is, how do you understand what actually matters in your particular environment, and then how do you execute on that? And that really is the essence of this show, is understanding what really matters and then being able to put that into a strategy execution framework so you can actually deliver. Because again, if you have more than five things you're working on at any given time as an organization, it's not going to happen.
Wow, that's a good, I've not heard that. More than five things at a time,
it's not going to happen. Right. If there's too many distractions, because those five things then spawn initiatives and action items that are multiple, and the organization just begins to lose its focus. So that is really why SOAR Vision Group exists, and that's what the partnership with the Baldridge is all about. There is a science to the journey of success, and the Baldridge has proven that out over and over again for the last 30 years. SOAR Vision Group has identified that strategy execution is the engine that essentially forces prioritization and the connect the dots within the company to be able to be successful. So talk to us a little bit about that in terms of how organizations, Jennifer, can prioritize to succeed, the challenge of saying no.
Oh, that's a good one, because that's discipline, right? I mean, it's just like when your baby or grandbaby, probably even more so at grandbabies, come up to you and they beg for something, to have to say no to them when you see that little face and you know that they just want it, but you also know that I can't give you everything because it's not teaching you the right disciplines. We have to do that with our employees and with our own selves when we're actually running a business, because otherwise we're constantly just reacting instead of actually getting ahead. Because if you're always in that mode, you're always in the exploit mode, and you can never actually explore new options because you're just there. So a good example when you think about Alive Studios is they've been able to say, you know, we're in the market of supplemental learning for English language. That's a busy, saturated market. There are a lot of companies out there that do it, but there are no companies out there that do it through augmented reality. They've been able to differentiate themselves in the approach and the engagement of what they do. And a lot of that, and it, I would say to your point, Duffy's a really good point around with technology, it's really hard to say no. Because when you get into developing, and they're a product, they have a product company with the service that they're providing. So when you get into a technology and you're saying, oh, we should add this, and I'm bad about this because I've worked for technology firms, it would be really great if we could do this, this, and this. It would be really great, but we can't do it, right? And so you've got to find that balance of what is it that it's going to help us do? Is it going to bring return? Is it really going to exceed the value that customers need? Is it an indifference? This goes back to the Kano model. Is it an indifference? Is it a delight? Or is it a basic expectation? If there are things that are basic expectations that we need to be doing that we're not doing, you have to do it. Those are things that they just have to get done.
So yes and no are tough calls on the business part. And a lot of times, because of the busyness of the business cycle, people depend on impressions or anecdote to make those decisions, right? In other words, they're not, like we've talked about the Kano model and actually doing the discipline of voice the customer and market analysis to say, what will the market actually really buy?
Right.
Not what you think they're going to buy.
Right.
But what will they actually buy?
Right. And we do that all the time, right? We say, well, this happens all the time. And then you actually pull data on it, and it happens once a year. But when it happens, it's the worst experience ever. It takes forever. It brings to the point of you have to have data,
right?
You have to actually validate your root cause or your issue that you think is causing the problem. The other thing that comes to mind is, you know, you're looking at ROI, you're looking at value, you're looking at all the side effects, so to speak, of what doing or not doing will impact your organization. But you really have to focus on what is the cost of not doing this. So if there is an extreme cost of not doing something, it might be that we need to actually reprioritize and refocus. If there's not, then maybe it is time or it's acceptable to put it to the parking lot or side burner for now.
I thought that was good. You pointed out to Alive Studios, and they were doing some of that, but you said you really, because you've got something right now that is great and you have a market that you haven't totally tapped, you know, be careful what you decide to add, because it may just be wasting your energy and it may not be profitable.
Right.
Right. So let's think about just organizational execution a minute. So senior leaders are responsible for doing what we're talking about. They're responsible to assess the market, to understand how their product fits, how it differentiates, and what the priorities of delivery are supposed to be around that product and or service. The people within the company then are responsible for actually executing on that. If they don't understand what those senior leaders have come up with, i.e. the strategy, and it's not very specifically connected to the front line, it's not going to happen.
So they have to buy into it.
They make assumptions, right.
Right. Right.
They assume that if I don't know what you're saying, I'm going to assume I know, and I'm going to do what I think you're trying to tell me instead of what you actually might are saying.
So you could have, and this happens all the time, you could have a really outstanding product and a really outstanding strategy and dismally fail because the rest of your organization didn't see or understand what you saw or understood in discrete enough ways to be able to execute on it. That is what a cascading scorecard is about, and that's what's embedded in the organizational hierarchy of needs by level, right? So that at the top, that's why you have what's your strategy and how are you going to execute on it. And then under all the measures that matter, how is that going to equate financially to success? How is that going to equate to customer value? Mm-hmm. How is that going to equate to organizational effectiveness? How is that going to equate to colleague engagement, meaning your frontline people are there, are engaged and understand? If you don't anticipate all of those and the measures that matter within that for your particular industry, you will fail, or in another vernacular, fall into the chasm, which is the worst case scenario.
So you work with companies, you've talked about, you work with health companies, a lot of hospitals. So you work with big companies, small companies. Every company, as you say, has different needs, different strengths, different weaknesses. We have watched you or heard about you going in and doing sort of an initial assessment or an audit, or just seeing how they
work.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then taking it from there. So if people wanted more information about this, how to get involved with SOAR Vision Group and what could be done for their business, obviously a mom and pop shop is not going to A, be able to afford, or B, have the resources and time to get the full shebang. But I mean, some of this, I mean, the first few shows we've done, I'm picking up all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, so actually we have scaled it,
okay,
by productizing it for any business, even a sole proprietor, to be able to drive benefits. So, Jennifer, talk to us a little bit about that. So,
yes.
So we have tried to make it quite easy to establish relationships with clients, just like we did with Swim Kids and Alive Studios. Mm-hmm. And next week we're going to be talking to a hospital client of ours. So that'll be an interesting conversation. But talk to us a little bit about those partnership pathway opportunities.
Mm-hmm. So there are different levels, because to your point, Duffy, there are different organizations are at different points in their journey.
Right.
So some businesses are just starting out and their sole focus is really growth. Some businesses are much larger, and it's about trying to contain the growth to some extent. Doesn't mean they don't want the growth. They just need to be able to operationalize and be effective enough to deliver upon that need, because they've been able to tap into demand. There's this balance. And so with SOAR, what we have is the components of a strategy execution system and the expertise across all of our different partners to really support organizations no matter where you're at. And so that comes through with different partnership packages, and it can be different levels. So if you're a very small single sole proprietor, or maybe a five person team, or if you're a Fortune 100 company with 10,000 plus employees, it's relevant to everyone there. And we've got pathways that can allow you to be they're custom tailored for what your goals are. So it can be tailored based on your complexity, your size, what's your end goal? Are you looking for something like standing out by a national Baldrige Award? Or are you looking at growth and trying to actually double your revenues for a year, for example, like what we talked about with Swim Kids of Georgia? So there's different variations of that. And any of our partnerships include things like our discovery. So our discovery is where we really come in with an objective set of eyes, just learn about you. That's all it is. It's trying to learn about you and say, what are you guys doing really well? Where's your opportunity? Because we all have opportunities, no matter how great we are. We have to continue to improve if we want to be the best. And so as part of that, it's where are you at as a business? How do you get to the next point, whether you're trying to cross the chasm or just trying to continually improve to be able to maximize your market? Whatever the case is, we've got those different pathways.
And so our relationship with the Baldrige is that is the number one quality performance framework in the world. And there's these amazing people that are Baldrige Examiner consultants that we can refer companies to help them on this transformation journey of proven standards. And really what we're doing is ushering organizations in, helping them understand where they're currently at, helping zero in on strategy execution. Because again, as we've talked about, everybody has a playbook, right? Everybody has
That's
a strategy.
Right.
But the winners execute on the measures that matter. And that's where we can help, and that's really how you have to get started. Otherwise, you're in a blur of complexity. You get tyrannized by the urgent of things, and you think you're doing well, and then you wake up and realize, I'm missing that, and I'm not getting the kind of cash flow I need, or I'm not meeting my volume expectations, or whatever.
And I'll just add, because we were talking about this, and you mentioned I was throwing out books, and I do love to read, but it's overwhelming. I mean, look at how many business books are out there, it's impossible to probably get through all of them. Even if you were just having them go through on Audible, day in and day out as you're sleeping. Like, you just can't get through all the books. So it's, again, a saturated market. But it's, as a business leader, it's very hard to know, like, where do I actually start? And so the value of what Ben's talking about with the Baldrige framework is it's a proven framework. I mean, it's been in existence since 1987, I believe.
It's 30 years, 1988.
Put in from Reagan. And so when you're working with that level, you've got people who've been doing it. The value of what the strategy execution system brings with SOAR in collaboration with the Baldrige framework is it acts as a catalyst. So it accelerates the journey so that you don't have to take so long to go into a very complex concept, but it simplifies it so it's relevant and easy to understand for the senior executive and every layer down, all the way down to the front line.
And so let me just make the Baldrige a little bit more simple to understand for people. So there are seven categories within the Baldrige, performance categories. The first one is leadership. Organizations don't happen without good leadership. In fact, a good mentor of mine said, organizational performance always happens in the shadow of the leader.
Ah.
And there are actually academic theories that support that as well.
Very much so. The leadership capability is the number one, as we call it, X factor for success or not. The second is strategy. Wow, big surprise.
Right.
So do you have the right strategy and can you execute on it? And that's what we do. So that's the engine, if you will, if as a leader. You have to be able to understand what you're doing, prioritize it, connect it to your front line, make sure that you're managing information flow and decision rights and alignment and the difference between, I think we've talked about this, between authority and responsibility. All those things are included. Category three is customers. Sound familiar? Customer value. So it's all of the aspects of voice of the customer and understanding what customers need. Category four is measurement, analysis, and knowledge management.
And you said there's no way to know if you're doing the right thing and making this growth and if no one is measuring it. And you need the right way to measure.
That's precisely right, right? And then category five is the workforce, which has a lot to do with what we talk about with colleague engagement. And then category six is operations, right? Sounds like organizational efficiency and all those aspects. And then category seven is results. Both internal and external comparative, right? So the Baldrige is an incredible, capable, proven over and over again across all business segments, performance excellence framework, bar none, better than anything else in the world. A lot of businesses are not availing themselves of it because they feel like it's too complicated. It actually isn't when you're on the journey. And that's what we help organizations do in collaboration with the Baldrige Examiner Consultants is get started with who you are, your identity, your strategy, and how you're going to execute on that. And as a leader, that's a key characteristic. And then we can help you on that transformational journey. You get to choose in your partner pathway program what you want to focus on, and we make it easy for you. So a lot of this stuff is included in those.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you get, again, as part of that, you get discovery. It's on-site time. You get access to experts through improvement coaching and actual consulting hours that you can be used based on whatever your needs are. So it's not a cookie-cutter approach. I mean, there are standard approaches within a strategy execution system that we know work, like leadership rounding and the cascading scorecard. But that doesn't mean that what you're going to build into your scorecard or the way you do your rounding has to be the exact same as everyone else. There are things that you can customize that bring in your culture of an organization that really are embedded in you and so that it can be successful. But then there's always ongoing knowledge transfer and learning that you get as part of that as well.
So I also think the people we've had in so far, for them, it seems daunting, and the idea of bringing in a pair of outside eyes or a group that doesn't know anything about you, at first they're very intimidated by that, but it's so eye-opening mm-hmm. to them. And it's as hard as that may be, you're doing the hard work for them. You're the independent person who's saying, we've watched you, here's what you do great. And it's not all negative, it's here's what you're great at.
Yeah.
And we've had such, I mean, these companies we're dealing with have great things going for them. Mm-hmm. And then with just a little help, they can do so much better. And it seems that I think that's exactly what you guys do. You put it in small chunks so they're not overwhelmed.
Right. We help
help them along.
We help them identify what actually matters for you. Now, the other thing, too, is that as a part of these client pathway programs that we have, what's included is interactions with others that are in the same pathway.
Oh, yeah.
So they can do a roundtable discussion about, hey, I had this problem with such and such. Have you had that problem? And it's a facilitated conversation. They also have access to webinars. And then we do conferences or symposiums and lunch and learns and things like that. So it's a repository of expert knowledge and capability. Each organization has an assigned advisor. So they have a you know how we talked about the phone thing the other day where you call in and press 9 to talk. You know, that's not
how
you
can't get a human being on
the
phone.
That's not how it works. So you get an advisor and somebody answers the phone. And it's a way of really being able to make sure that you can win. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for telling us a little bit more about SOAR and how people can get involved with it. And thanks for our listeners for listening to Leader Dialogue presented by SOAR Vision Group and the Baldrige Foundation. We invite you to tune in every Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time to listen to us live. And then to listen to this episode again or any previous shows, visit leaderdialogue.com/podcast. Again, that's Leader Dialogue with a DIALOGUE. You think, Ben, people get hung up on that?
I don't know. You know, dialogue actually means a dialogue box. Like DIALOG in IT is just a dialogue box.
All right. So
dialogue is actually the right English term for
exactly.
what we're talking about,
okay,
which is you're having dialogue.
The
yeah.
GUE.
There you
again,
go.
Again, slash podcast. On behalf of Ben Sawyer and Jennifer Strahan with SOAR Vision Group and our producers, Mike, Trey, and Nat, I'm Duffy Dixon. Thanks for listening to Leader Dialogue on Business Radio X.
Thank you, Duffy.